Welcome to God and Country Radio. Weekend program discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. The last 4 weeks with Trump in office has been quite a whirlwind. All that's happening, it seems like he's been in office longer, but it's been less than a month. What's happening right now in America is not just a political movement, it's a cultural revolution. Americans who hold to traditional moral values are revolting against the left's beliefs in transgenderism, racism, DEI, men and women's sports, the global warming scam, endless government spending and programs, open borders, judicial lawfare, etc. The political right has gotten the political upper hand. They're using it to unravel the leftist policies of the last 20 years. Here's just one example of hundreds. Over the weekend, Trump announced that he was removing several members of the Washington, D.C. Kennedy Center board, and if needs be, making himself the chairman of the board. Since the Kennedy Center operates under the White House, this is Trump's executive power. Why did Trump do this? Well, because he explained that the center was hosting drag queen shows targeting children. And this must stop. We must have a new board that supports a golden age of arts and culture in America. So the first person to go is the current chairman of the Kennedy Center, David Rubenstein, appointed by Biden. Is Trump doing the right thing? Given what the scriptures teach about the role of civil leaders, yes. Romans 13, civil magistrates are to be ministers of God, avengers who bring wrath on the ones who practice evil. We just haven't seen this in a generation or so because the prevailing philosophy of even conservative leaders has been pluralism and a type of democratic moral equivalency and ambiguity. But all effective biblical moral reformers have rejected that philosophy. Right is right, wrong is wrong, and the righteous must stand up for what's right regardless of the consequences, regardless of whether or not we win another election. Proverbs 25:26, like a trampled spring and a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. Now, there's still opposition to Trump in some evangelical circles, usually from leftist evangelicals who support transgenderism and abortion and believe that the Christian goal is to make nice with the world. This last week, Wheaton College, the once premier Christian institution in Illinois, posted a congratulation to one of their graduates, Russell Vaught, for being Trump's appointee to the White House Director of Management and Budget. It caused such an outcry on campus that the college had to retract the congratulations. Wheaton posted this response. On Friday, Wheaton College posted congratulations and called to pray for an alumnus who received confirmation to the White House post. The recognition and prayer is something we would typically do for any graduate who reached that level of government. However, the political situation surrounding the appointment led to a significant concern expressed online. It was not our intention to embroil the college in a political discussion or dispute. Our institutional and theological commitments are clear that the college, as a nonprofit institution, does not make political endorsements. Wheaton College focuses on Christ and His kingdom. Unquote. Now, one would imagine that all of the Christians at Wheaton would be thrilled with a righteous man becoming the director of management and budget. Maybe he can help weed out the financial corruption. But Wheaton has been taken over by the left and has become woke. The school now supports transgender student organizations. Students and faculty aren't even allowed to say the word servant or mankind. There's a religion of lawlessness and humanism that masquerades under the guise of Christianity. In the early church, it was called the era of Gnosticism. So anyway, the first group of professing evangelicals who despise Trump and his administration is because he is too righteous. However, there's another group of evangelicals that despise him because, in their estimation, Trump is not righteous enough. They see ungodliness in the conservative camp. They see the secular semi-conservatism of Elon Musk and Vivek, the Joe Rogan types. And so they believe that Trump's winning is actually the left winning, that the political right and the political left are one and the same. It's all the world. Well, I'm glad those Christians see the faults and some of the godless motives in the conservative movement. But the ideological right is not the ideological left. A belief in natural law matters, and it's no small thing. Trump and the Republicans are working to return America to the concept of the law of nature, nature's God, natural law. And that is not a support of Satan's kingdom, but an assault on Satan's kingdom. Natural law threatens Satan's agenda. Luke chapter 11, but Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a house divided against itself falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And also today, some are claiming the Republican pushback against transgenderism, abortion, the racism of DEI, globalism, is a secret ploy of the devil. He's actually setting up America for evil. To which I would say, stop overthinking this. You know, as if Donald Trump is some sort of double agent. Now, of course, Donald Trump and the people he surrounds himself with, who are mostly Christians, in their worldview, are not perfect. But that's the condition of all social reforms throughout history. I really don't believe Satan's rejoicing that his lawless and moral agenda is being unraveled. Any return to natural law is good for America. But of course, as Christians, we know this is not enough. It's also incumbent upon us to double down on evangelism. So all that's just by way of introduction. The subject for this week's program is to focus on just one of Trump's reforms. For the next few weeks, I'm going to take each program to cover one reform. And the reform for this week is the financial reforms. Rooting out and eliminating federal financial corruption. And there's plenty of it. Now, those who are politically savvy have known for quite some time about the corruption. It's really, really, really bad. But the general public is just waking up to it. Evil's being exposed, and that's always a good thing. Ephesians chapter 5, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. So this week, DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, under leadership of Elon Musk, exposed what U.S. international aid was being spent on. Here are some of the lists posted by the White House. $5 million to advance diversity, equity, and inclusion in Serbia's workplaces and business communities. $70,000 for a production of a DEI musical in Ireland. $2.5 million for electric vehicles in Vietnam. $47,000 for a transgender opera in Colombia. $32,000 for a transgender comic book in Peru. $2 million for sex changes and LGBTQ activism in Guatemala. $6 million to fund tourism in Egypt. And hundreds of thousands of dollars for nonprofits linked to designated terrorist organizations. Millions to the EcoHealth Alliance, which was involved in research at the Wuhan lab. Hundreds of thousands of meals that went to Al-Qaeda-affiliated fighters in Syria. Funding to print personalized contraceptive birth control devices in developing countries. Also, hundreds of millions of dollars to fund irrigation canals, farming equipment, to support poppy cultivation in Afghanistan. Heroin. Here's an article from Town Hall that breaks the spending down into seven major categories. Homosexual and transgender spending, DEI spending to promote illegal immigration, global warming, sexual health funding, abortion, contraceptives to stop overpopulation, terrorism funding, and the Eco Health Alliance, virus gain of function research. Also, $270 million of U.S. aid went to George Soros charities to fund the election of leftist prosecutors in the United States. You wonder where the left is getting all their money? They're paying themselves out of the U.S. Treasury. USAID is being described as a slush fund for the Democrat Party. It's also being described as a racket. And the American public has been fed a false cover story. Cover story that was so pretentious that it took years before the public could react and challenge it. Here's another news piece. Mapping NGOs' connections and tracking millions of government money. Fractal technology maps previously hidden connections between 55,000 leftist NGOs, revealing how tax dollars allegedly flow to them from major institutions like Vanguard and Morgan Stanley. This breakthrough tracking system can now monitor every dollar going to NGOs, exposing intricate funding webs that traditional tech could not detect. NGOs, non-governmental organizations, are charity organizations set up to receive and distribute U.S. government aid. And leftists have set up thousands of these front organizations to aid illegal immigration, abortion, LGBTQ. NGOs were funding and supplying the migrant caravans, all funded by USAID. And this article explains how the money moves from organization to organization so that it cannot be easily tracked. Now that Kristi Noem is the head of Homeland Security, she revealed that NGOs are spending $1.4 billion annually to ship illegal immigrants into the United States. This was the agenda of the Democrat Party, which I addressed in my last week's program. Also, it was revealed last week that USAID money was being spent to support leftist news outlets. Politico, The New York Times, AP Press. Politico has received $35 million from the government. And you can be sure not a single conservative news site received any federal funding. And this is how it works. Politico offers pro-subscription contracts so that government workers can get access to additional political articles. Just like you might have a VIP subscription to the Daily Wire or to PJ Media. Well, government workers don't need to read these extra Politico articles, but through this, Democrats can give money to their supporters in the media. And this is just another example of how leftism, how all ungodliness is always parasitic. Leftist universities, media outlets, leftist think tanks could not survive. They had to do real work for a living. They only survive by the power of government attacks. Now, the corruption in USAID is not just in the spending. It's also in the workforce itself. The department employs 10,000 people. Trump is cutting it down to 300. Now, exactly how this is going to work is a real mystery. For now, it seems like these employees are being put on temporary leave. But just think about this. 10,000 workers to shuffle papers and to hand out $60 billion a year in taxpayer money. When Elon Musk took over Twitter, he cut the workforce down by 80%, from 8,000 to 1,800, and Twitter continued to run just fine. It's a computer program. The computer program does all the work. Well, the same amount of unnecessary employees likely exist in government agencies. So the corruption in USAID is just so vast, it would take me an entire program just to list and describe all of the misspent money. And this is not even to mention other government agencies. It's now being reported that Social Security gives out billions per year to people who don't qualify and who don't even have Social Security numbers. Here's an interview with Elon Musk, quote, "Nobody in Treasury management cared enough before. I do want to credit the working level people in the Treasury who've wanted to do this for many years, but have been stopped by prior management. Everything at the Treasury was geared toward compliant minimization. People who receive money don't complain, but people who don't receive money, especially fraudsters, complain very loudly, so the fraud was allowed to continue. It's ridiculous that these changes or reforms didn't exist already. Yesterday I was told that there are currently over $100 billion per year of entitlement payments to individuals with no Social Security or even a temporary ID number. If accurate, this is extremely suspicious. When I asked if anyone at the Treasury had a rough guess for what percentage of that number is equivocal and obvious fraud, the consensus in the room was about half. $50 billion per year or about $1 billion per week. This is utterly insane and must be addressed immediately, unquote, Elon Musk. Now, a very important part of this story is how the left is reacting to this exposure of the corruption and the cutbacks. But before that discussion, we need to establish a biblical basis for the just and moral use of money. Because these reports are meaningless for millions of Americans who want to live off of government largesse. I mean, as far as they're concerned, what's wrong with handing out money? And what's wrong with having an easy job? And what's wrong with supporting ideological causes? So we need to begin with a biblical moral understanding of what is financial corruption. What is the definition of freeloading off of the system? Again, for many Americans, they say, hey, if someone wants to pay me for doing a job, the job must be righteous. Otherwise, no one would be paying me. And here we're reminded of 1 Timothy chapter 6, the teaching there, where Paul points out that men of depraved minds suppose that godliness is a means of gain. That verse isn't strictly about religious offerings. It's referring to those who judge what is morally right and wrong based upon the money they can get from it. If they can make money from it, it must be godly or righteous. Similar to Micah chapter 2, verse 1, where people justify financial corruption simply because it's in the power of their hand. Might makes right. If I can do it, it must be okay. If the government wants to pay me six figures to rubber stamp checks to drag queen operas in Colombia, so what? As long as I have a job. What is our integrity in regard to our employment? Would you take a comfortable government job if it came your way, even though you know that your work is unessential, unnecessary, a waste of taxpayers' money? Now, there are plenty of government workers who are needed, but there are plenty who are not, and they are bankrupting the government, hurting the good workers. Are you familiar with Psalm 15? It's one of those convicting psalms every Christian needs to know and live by. It begins, "Who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill?" It's asking, who are the ones who will go to heaven? Verse 2, "He who walks in integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart." And then the text goes on to explain the behavior of those who walk in integrity. Verse 5, "He doesn't put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent." In other words, he doesn't take money that doesn't belong to him, even if someone offers him the check. This involves having some moral discernment in employment. A parallel text to Psalm 15:5 would be Isaiah 33:15. "He who walks righteously and speaks with sincerity, he who rejects unjust gain and shakes his hands so that they hold no bribe." But my favorite part of Psalm 15 is verse 4. "The righteous man makes a promise to his own hurt, and he doesn't change. His integrity is such that he will do the right thing even if it hurts him, even if it costs him his job, his retirement, his 401k. How many Americans would turn down a grant, a contract, a job that would enrich them and make their life easy, even if the job or the source of money wasn't right? Very few would turn down such a job. Only those who abide on God's holy hill walk in financial integrity. And I have learned from experience that those of us who live by moral financial integrity will most often not become rich or become upper middle class. I could tell you so many stories about growing up in my neighborhood in northern New Jersey. All the dads who had two Cadillacs in the garage, we all knew that they were into corrupt business dealings, making a living off of people's vices, government graft, monopolies. Not all, but most. Did you hear this week the story about the mayor of L.A., Karen Bass, hired Steve Soboroff to lead the fire recovery effort in L.A.? He was being paid $500,000 for 90 days of work. Once it was revealed to the public, the mayor reversed course on the compensation. But if nobody found out, it would have continued. All of these reports in the news this week about government corruption and waste should cause us to examine our own work and our own finances. Rather than this being all about them, God also intends all this for us to examine our own ways. Well, I got off track. Let's return to the biblical basis or the definition of financial justice. It starts in Genesis, where God commands that man shall work by the sweat of his brow. And ever since that pronouncement, sinners have been trying to skirt around God's requirement by using the power of a monopoly or the power of government to tax, to not have to work by the sweat of one's brow. Remember the New Testament standard Paul puts forth in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, where Paul writes, "We did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with labor and hardship we kept working night and day so that we wouldn't be a burden to any." Paul and his integrity wasn't going to burden anyone to pay him his salary. And then Paul goes on to give this standard. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat. There is to be no freeloading off of others. But those without a Christian worldview naturally have an entitlement attitude toward their support and employment. The goal is to get the most pay for the least work, and landing that kind of job is like winning the lottery. But not so for the Christian. And you know, these people get offended if they get laid off. But on the other hand, Christians are to be rejoicing. If we're not being useful and needed in our employment, we want to move on to be in a place where we can produce legitimate goods and services for others. To be in a place where people freely pay for our services, not where we force people to pay for us by taxation or any other means. You say, well, Pastor Brad, who thinks that way? Well, Psalm 15, he who walks in integrity and works righteousness. Now, moving on from the simple command to work in Genesis, we also have the Mosaic Law, the Old Covenant, God's standards of righteousness. And the law of God contains laws against financial corruption, specifically what is called the sin of exploitation. Exploitation is the unjust use of others for personal gain. It's a violation of justice and love for one's neighbor. But it looks like I'm out of time. I'm going to have to finish this up in my extended video version of this program at YouTube and Rumble. The channel is God and Country Biblical Exposition. This is YouTube number 342. And what I would like to go on to cover is a brief exposition of the prophet Amos, a look at the reaction of the left, and what God has to say about the punishment that comes upon those who make their living unjustly. So if you're a YouTuber, you may want to check out my channel at God and Country Biblical Exposition. The website for all of the links is godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Stay in the Word, and by the grace of God and the salvation of Christ, become the Psalm chapter 15 person who walks in integrity and works righteousness. May Jesus Christ reign.